good. So we're so glad you're here. And if you weren't able to be here with us last week, we started a series on prayer. And you can always go back to the website and check that out. Every week, we have our messages and the service on the website. And then at 9:30, say hi to our Facebook friends. We're broadcasting this service live on Facebook. So if you aren't able to physically get here, it's a great opportunity to tune in through Facebook. If you don't know how to do that, don't ask me. So ask somebody else. But I want to jump in right now for just a few minutes of review, because we began a series, as I said last week, on the idea of one anothering. And we talked about one anothering, that 59 times in the scriptures we're called to one another. Things like this: to love one another and to care for one another, to forgive one another, to serve one another. Pastor Billy is going to talk next week on encouraging one another. And so for this first season of the year, we're going to talk about what it means to do life here together at Thanksgiving, but how do we do that to one another as well? And so I also said last week, kind of tongue-in-cheek, I said, I'm the new pastor here. And it was fun because I actually had a few guests come up to me and introduce themselves to me. Like, I was brand new, they were welcoming me to town. So I was like, that's kind of cool, all right? So they played along to another extent there. But if you had a chance to be here for your first message, we said, what would you preach on? What would you give a message on? Would you talk about what a bright future we have here at Thanksgiving? Or Pastor Billy's new donut incentive plan for perfect attendance, right? Just ask him about that, right? Perfect attendance for a month, free donut, sound like a good idea? Yeah? Or maybe as Lutherans, we could rediscover indulgences. Would that be a fun way to start? So there's all sorts of options, ways we could go. But we said none of those, I don't think, would fit our community or be what God wants us to be talking about. And so we said, we believe that prayer is that cornerstone of who we are as a church, that it reminds us of our dependence on God. And then we're not going to get anywhere that God wants us to go unless we're willing to depend on Him and to be in prayer. And so we said we're not only going to talk about this, but we're going to do it. And so 2 weeks from today, right at this hour, if you can change your worship time at all, we have a forum on prayer. And you've been giving us questions. We're going to have a Q&A forum time. And so I think we have a slide up there. Jared, do you have that slide? There's a slide. So, yeah, here's a couple books that we're recommending, too. The Power of a Praying Parent and The Celebration of Disciplines. Just continue. Here's some great books. If you want to know a little bit more about these books, just ask us after the service today. We've got a great library of prayer. And then, again, on February 13th or 3rd at 9:30, we have this forum. So, well, as we begin this morning, it's kind of a review, just a little bit more review. Sometimes we think about prayer as being like it's preparing us for something great. God has something He wants us to do. And what we said last week is prayer is not preparing us for something that God has us to do. Prayer is the great work of God as we approach whatever it is. And 39 times throughout Jesus' teaching, He talks about prayer. 33 of those times we said He's talking about it in the plural sense. In other words, that God's people are to gather together to pray. And there's a really powerful dynamic. But we also said that if prayer isn't a part of our lives, it's a little bit like living in a high altitude area. Have you ever traveled to Colorado for a week? And you know what that can feel like when you're trying to get a breath. You're just kind of all of a sudden you find yourself out of breath. And that's sort of like what our lives are like without prayer. And so we looked at this 2 Chronicles 20 community who was out of breath. They were wondering what the next steps would be. And remember this key verse that we talked about last week. When we don't know what to do, we're to keep our eyes upon You. And that God honors those prayers. So hope you're ready to dig in. I can think of nothing better for a New Year's resolution, maybe some exercise, maybe some eating right, but prayer is going to have some long-term benefits for us. Okay, so we're going to dive in today, and I want to start with a story. It's a story about Reverend Billy Graham. Anybody still remember Billy Graham? He just died recently, and he was on the Today Show a while back, and he was coming with his assistant, and the producer of Today Show met his assistant and Reverend Billy Graham, and they said to Billy and his assistant, they said, hey, we've got a prayer room set aside for you, so before you go on the air, you'll have this dedicated space to go in and to pray. And Graham's assistant said, well, he won't be needing that. And the producer was like, well, you're a world-famous Christian leader, and you're going to be on national TV. You don't want to pray? And this is what Graham's assistant said. Mr. Graham started praying when he got up this morning. He prayed while he ate breakfast. He prayed on the way over in the car, and he'll probably be praying all the way through the interview. That's it, isn't it? It's kind of this aha moment that somehow we can be going about our daily activities on one level, but on another level, we can be in constant communication with God. How many of you would like to have that kind of prayer life? Yeah? All right. I'm not going to ask how many have that prayer life, right? Because sometimes we think, well, that's kind of some Jedi mind trick. Yeah, that you're able to access the Force while you're going about your daily activities. But today, what we're going to try to do is sort of get rid of that idea that only the holy and the mighty know how to pray, but it's really available to all of us. And you have a little outline in your messenger. So if you take that out for a moment and grab a pen or a pencil, last week we have from last week's message, we have the notes are available there. And then this week we have the outline for today's notes. Okay, and we'll have some homework for you. If you really are interested in learning about more about prayer, we're going to give you some things we can begin to incorporate in our daily lives. Okay, so got your outline? We're just going to do real easy today. Who, what, where, when, and why. And I love feedback. So who can pray? Anyone, right? Easy answer is anyone, but I think there's maybe a little deeper concept there as we talk about that this morning. So Luke, we know Luke, he was one of the authors in the scriptures. He wrote a biography about Jesus, and he also wrote a travel log called the Book of Acts, which was a travel log about the early church and what they were all about and what the kinds of things they were encountering. And Luke writes in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, he writes about the disciples, how they were going out and praying. This is what Luke said. When they, or the crowds, saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Interesting. Here's Luke talking about ordinary people that had explosive prayer lives. They didn't go to seminary. They didn't have a PhD in praying. They were just ordinary, unschooled people. Now, I think we all think, yeah, everyone can pray. But I think there's this gap between what we think and what we really live out. And it reminds me of a story when Lisa and I, my wife and I, were dating, and it was early on in our relationship, just so you don't have this cringe factor, I asked for permission to share this, so you don't need to go out to her afterwards and say, did you hear? And then some people always embellish it a little bit, you know, and then I get in trouble. And so anyway, we were dating, and we kind of came to a crossroads in our relationship where we weren't quite sure we were going to be able to navigate through it. And it was a kind of a difficult season. And I remember one night, it was at my home, it was late at night, and we were talking, and I said to her, I said, you know, I think we should be in prayer about this, and we should really seek God's guidance. And she shared with me a couple weeks later that this ask really alarmed her. She's a bit threatened by it, because she'd grown up in a tradition where the only way that you prayed was that you read prayers that were already written for you, or that you watched somebody up front recite prayers. And for the average person, prayer wasn't really anything you did other than that. And so when I asked her to begin to pray about it and seek God's guidance, she was kind of at a loss to think about, well, what did that mean? Now, I mentioned last week that oftentimes we as pastors will get the comment, Pastor, hey, Pastor Billy, could you throw up a prayer for me? I know you got a much better connection to God than I do. And I know most of the times that's said in jest and we kind of laugh about it, but there's really an underlying truth there that sometimes we believe that others, holier people, they have a direct line to God, but me, little old me, oh, maybe God has time once in a while to hear my prayer. And that's sort of this underlying truth that we live our lives with, and it really impacts the way that we approach God. And so who's prayer for? Everyone, certainly. But God especially loves to listen to people that don't think they have it all together. God loves to listen to everybody, but when we come and we tell God that we've got it all figured out and he just needs to do A, B, and C, it puts God in a little bit of a corner for us. So that's who can pray. But so what is prayer? What do you think? What's prayer? What are some key foundations to when you think about prayer? What's prayer? Dialogue. What else? Faith. Having faith. You need faith to pray that there's somebody out there. Yeah. Conversation. Praise. Yeah. All those things are true. I know growing up that my parents taught me to pray at bedtime, and so I had this kind of rhythm to my prayer, and most of my prayer was A, B, C, D, E, F, Amen. And I never had a real concept that God actually wanted to speak into my life, too. I thought I was just supposed to talk to God and tell him everything, but it was a real awakening for me in college when one of the pastors said, you know, make some room, make some space in your prayer to listen to God, to listen to God. And if that seems like, whoa, what are you trying to say there? That's why we're talking about taking some baby steps. Go to the prayer forum. Read some of these books that we're talking about. And we can talk about it a little bit today, but we can't get too in-depth. But I think part of our problem when we think about prayer is that who are we imagining that God is when we pray to him? Do you ever think about that for a moment? Think about praying right now. And think about what your conception of God looks, what God looks like. That has a lot to do with how motivated we are to approach God. You know, I think some of us think of God as sort of this mysterious God, this far-off being, this celestial being that we don't really understand, and it's really hard to relate to God, and so therefore our prayers are sort of these. It's kind of like talking to somebody you've never met before. You're sort of awkward about it. And while there's some truth to that certainly God is mysterious, we forget that God came down and was an ordinary human being while he walked the earth. He was a carpenter. And that when we hurt, he hurt. When we have difficulties, he had those same difficulties. And so we're praying to someone who can understand what we're talking about. And so then we can begin to approach prayer like, okay, it's my best friend. And he's so eager to listen to me. He's not some far-off, distant being that can't relate to our issues or problems. The disciples were going through the same thing. They came to Jesus one day in Matthew chapter 6, and they said, hey, Lord, would you teach us to pray? We grew up in a setting where we weren't even allowed to say the name of God. When they would read their Hebrew texts of the scriptures, every time the word Yahweh came up, they would have to use the word the name. It was Adonai. They weren't even allowed to say God's name. So you can imagine, they're kind of waiting, like, what's Jesus going to say? How do we pray? And this is the way Jesus starts. He says, well, you might start like this. Dear Daddy. The word is Abba that Jesus used. And the best translation of that is Daddy. We translate it as our Father who art in heaven. But even a better translation is Dear Daddy. Have you ever thought about God that way? that God is like a daddy. And some of us didn't have the best daddies growing up. How more so is that image even more powerful for us to think about? Here's a dad that never leaves, always unconditionally loves, always cares for us. And he wants us just to crawl up in his lap for a moment and to tell him what's going on, to be in prayer. It's as simple as that. Psalm 91 says it this way: He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, this isn't doing damage to the text, but I like to insert my own name into the scriptures, and it makes it more meaningful when I pray the Psalms. So you could say something like this: I will call upon you, and you will answer me. You will be with me in trouble, and you will deliver me and honor me. You see how it becomes so much more personal that these were actually letters written for us today and not just 3,000 or 2,000 years ago, that God wants us to relate to him today. Matthew 7 says it this way: Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, Jeannie just read this for you, and the door will be opened. In other words, I know sometimes you don't understand why I don't answer it the way you want it to be answered. But I'm going to encourage you to keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking and to trust me in whatever it is you're praying about. And just continue to give it to me over and over again. James 5 says it this way: Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. So the value of coming together so that there can be healing among you. The prayer of righteous people will be powerful and effective. Okay? So those are three good verses you might want to write down on your outline today, just to go back and look and to kind of pray over. Lord, what does this mean? Okay. Next question is, where do we pray? Where's the best place to pray for you? Where you're at. Okay, that's a great answer. Where you're at. What? She's been studying. All right. Gave you the notes ahead of time. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, sometimes we think, well, maybe I need to go to church, the church building, and I need to pray. For Christians, maybe if I travel to Rome, or if I'm Jewish, I go to Jerusalem, or if I'm a Muslim, I go to Mecca, or if I'm a Nebraskan, I go to Lincoln, to Memorial Stadium. You know, those are obviously places that are closer to God, right? Will we be closer to God? Matthew 6 says it this way: And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, while it's true, when we look at Jesus' life, often he withdrew to pray, didn't he? Look at almost every miracle that Jesus did. Go through the Gospels. It says he was praying beforehand. He was praying after. Anything of significance. And Jesus, of course, everything he did was significant. But Jesus didn't just withdraw to pray. He prayed in front of 5,000 people. He prayed in the crowds, too. I think what Matthew was saying here was that it's not our geographical location that's so important. It's the spiritual location of our hearts, wherever we are. And I don't know about you, but as it talks about it in this text, if you've been around people, sometimes, and I'm going to pick on us as Christians right now, is that sometimes you've ever been praying with someone, and you maybe don't know them that well, but you kind of know them from work, but you've never sort of experienced them in a spiritual setting, and then suddenly they begin to pray, and you go, wow. I mean, it's like they speak King James Version now all of a sudden, you know, instead of just talking normally. And that's okay. That's okay. But you don't have to pray in King James Version. God's given each of us a personality, and he speaks through whatever personality that God's given. So you don't have to have amazing spiritual vocabulary to pray. And I would say, just picking on some of us too, that some of us kind of get a little loquacious. We like to pray in long ways sometimes. Like, and if I'm sitting there, sometimes I go, well, gee, I can't pray that long, so therefore my prayers must not be just as good as that other person's. And I think, again, just a reminder that God prays through our own personality, and we can pray the way that God wired us up to do as well. So no right way to pray. It's just praying through our own personalities and wherever we are. Anybody here like to pray while they're exercising? Yeah, I didn't get many takers of the other. They said we don't really like to exercise. So therefore, that's not very good for us. How about driving? Anybody pray while they're driving? Yeah, that's right. A lot of times out of necessity, right? Yeah. But just the normal daily life. Or you may have a place in your house or your workplace that you say, you know, I just feel God's presence here. And I can't explain it, but and that's okay too. It might be the kitchen table. It might be a reclining chair. All of them are okay. We can pray wherever we are. When do we pray? When do you think? When's it important? Just when we're in trouble? Our prayer life tends to go up, doesn't it, when we're facing hard times? That's for sure. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, though, I just love this verse. It says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing, to pray continually. Without ceasing, all day long. I think things locked up back there. So, but here's I've got two pieces of homework for you. That doesn't mean we're done yet, but is this. So when you go out today, and maybe you start tomorrow, okay, there's this promise in the scriptures that says, I will be with you always. Okay. Now I catch myself saying this often. Lord, would you be with us today? And God says, you know, I told you that I'm with you. So you don't have to pray that. I'm already with you. And so what if tomorrow we started the day and said, Lord, thank you for being with me this day. Thank you for being with me through my morning commute. Thank you that you're with me as I take this really hard test in high school or junior high. Thank you that in this difficult conversation, you've got my back. And I'll tell you, it gives you a whole different perspective in the way that you approach anything. And I had a difficult conversation recently, and I was praying before, and I was praying during, and I will tell you that it was a difficult conversation, and it didn't turn out the way I hoped. But I had this sense of peace throughout it, like this sense of confidence, like that, you know what, I can't really control the other person's response, but I'm okay with that. And I think that if I hadn't invited myself to be aware of God's presence in that, I'd have been like, oh, gosh, I'm such a bad person. I can't believe that happened, you know, and all those kinds of things that we remind ourselves of. So we can ask God to be a part of everything that we do. And I'm just going to ask you, if you really want to get serious about this, just begin to start talking to him throughout the day. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're here. And you can talk to him just like you would a friend, okay? All right. Lastly, why do we pray? Big question. Does prayer make a difference? We have our Sunday school answer, oh yes. But there are times when you've been involved in a situation and you've prayed through it and it didn't turn out the way that you thought it should or that we thought it should or the best way that it could have. And that's really disconcerting. And that's why we gather as a community, because we need to talk about those things. This is probably the most difficult question that we ask. Why do we pray? I'm going to give you a resource to think about. There's a book. It's called Prayer by Philip Yancey. And if you want to get the name and author again after the message, just talk to me. But in it, he says this. When we clasp our hands in prayer, it's the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of this world. I want to read that one more time because I think it's really powerful. To clasp our hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of this world. How many of you think that our world is slightly disordered right now? Yeah. I think we all do. And so in prayer, we're praying for God's kingdom to come more fully, because we believe that prayer not only changes circumstances, it prays the one, changes the one who's praying as well. It begins to align our lives with what God cares about, okay? All right. So as we close this part of the message, I think you're in agreement with me that the world needs something. This nation needs something. Perhaps our marriages or our relationships need something. Our families need something. And we may not even know what that something is because it's such a big, big thing that we can't get our hands around it. What if we began to clasp our hands in prayer and just begin to say, Lord, I'm going to begin to give you whatever it is. And there is a lot to it right now. Okay? We began to do that. And one way, and this is your second part of your homework. So first part was begin to pray in the morning. Thank you, God, for being here. Second part is this. On the bottom of your guide, you have this little thing. It says, My One. And what we're going to ask you to do today is just to write down, after you've prayed, somebody's name that you believe that God has kind of put on your heart, that someone who could use more of Jesus in their life, or maybe Jesus for the first time. And you're just going to write that name down, and you're not going to come up with some kind of strategy of how to reach them or anything. You're just going to begin to pray for them. Just begin to pray for them, and that perhaps God would give you an opportunity to speak some words of hope and some words of life into their life. Okay? All right. So I've asked Dan Zaladek. He's been a longtime part of Thanksgiving, and he's someone who values prayer, just to come up and share a little bit about his own journey in prayer. And Dan has experienced many ups and downs in his prayer life, and so he offered to share just a little bit about his own experience with prayer today. So, Dan, if you would be willing just to kind of share a little bit about how you were first introduced to prayer and maybe kind of the early stages of prayer for you, that'd be great.
Yeah, as a child, you know, I had a childlike faith, and we could only understand so much. But I was taught basic prayers, you know, prayer at mealtime, God is great, God is good, and at bedtime, now I lay me down to sleep type thing. The blessings at the end. So that's how I kind of learned that. And as I grew older and in my teens and through my adult years, my faith did not match life. And my prayer life did not match that. It couldn't stand up to it. So what happened was I became disinterested with prayer. And I quit praying. And you might even say that I saw no proof that prayer worked for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, life was fast, and I just kind of thought, hey, I can do this.
Okay. Yeah. So you wonder if it really made any difference in your life, too, right? Why do you need it? So you think about now going into your young adult years or even later on, was there anything that was sort of a catalyst or helped you to gather maybe a starting point to maybe to another way to approach prayer? Mm-hmm.
Starting point. Yes. Yes, there was a restarting point for me. And it was called small group back then. It's life groups now. But and I participated in that with my wife and a lot of great people. And we just begin to, you know, do the study, the Walking with God series. Oh, what a great series. But the more we read and we did some prayer in the group, the more it became apparent to me that I'd been missing out, you know, and I had not been talking with God, and He not talking with me, more importantly. So that's kind of how it got going again. I just kind of went and moved through that.
And so since then, your prayer is just kind of up and to the right. It's just been a wonderful relationship. No
meteoric, David.
Right, yes, I'm sure, yes. Yeah, you know, I think most of us would like to portray that because, right, prayer is important, and we want to make sure everybody knows that prayer is important to us. Well, would you give us a little insight? Maybe you've had some struggles or along the way?
I laugh because, you know, that's a real joke. Meteoric. You got to be kidding me. Like the stock market up. And, oh, man, I was in a great place. And then I'm like down here and, you know, all around. And the struggles came in a couple of forms for me, basically. And I still struggle with these things today. Is time. You know, David talked about time. You know, when do you pray? You know, I found it difficult, you know, to find a time to pray, you know, or to take time to pray is more accurate because it's we have to decide, you know. So, and it was sometimes I felt like, oh, I have to have a quiet spot, you know. That's helpful, but not necessary. And the second part of this was the fact that being honest in front of God, you know, I assume, you know, God knows everything in my heart, you know. And so I would just conveniently leave some things out. Oh, God already knows this. I don't need to tell him this, you know. And but he's waiting for you to talk to him, you know. Like parents want their children to tell them, even though they probably already know something, you know. And I struggled with that. It's like I just needed to say, God, I messed up, you know, and here it is. There isn't anything you can say that God hasn't heard and wants to forgive.
Yeah, like any relationship, there's some struggles and some joys in that too. So maybe a final thought, is anything you would say to encourage us today? Maybe you're just getting restarted or maybe have some struggles in our own prayer life. What? How do we begin that?
You know, it's you just have to decide. And know this, this is the most important thing. God is waiting and wants you to talk with him. And through the years, I realized that, and through some of the resources here at Thanksgiving, you know, the pastors, the groups, scripture, those types of things, I availed myself of those things, and it helped me bring me forward. But there are many people here that if you have questions about prayer or you want help with it somehow, they can do that for you. You know, I'd be more than happy to answer anybody's questions after we're done here.
That sounds good. So, all right. Well, thanks for sharing this morning and coming up. And I wondered if you'd be willing just to close this time in prayer.
Sure.
All right. That'd be great. Thanks.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all here. No mistake that we're all here to hear it. Something as important as prayer. And Lord, we pray that you meet each person right here, right now, in this very second, and whisper right into our ears, come, come and talk with me. He's just so much craving that. So, Lord, that's our prayer today. And we're thankful to be called sons and daughters of the Most High and have such a loving God. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for always being with us and always listening. We pray all these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Let's thank Dan for coming up and sharing.